having completed the first church in Revelation chapter 3, which is the church at Sardis, last Lord's Day. We'll pick up now at the beginning of the verses 7 through 13, and the second church in the third chapter of Revelation, the church at Philadelphia. Hear now God's word as we read the entire chapter, Revelation chapter 3. And write the message to the church in Sardis, the one having the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says these things. I know your works, that you have a name that you live, and you're dead. Be awake and strengthen the remains which were ready to die, for I find no works of yours filled up before my God. Remember, therefore, how you have received and did hear, and keep and repent. If, therefore, should you not awaken, I shall come as a thief, and you shall not know what hour I shall come upon you. However, you have a few names in Sardis which did not defile their own garments. They will walk with me in white, that they are worthy. The one overcoming, this one will clothe himself in white garments, and I will in no way wipe his name out of the book of life, and I will profess his name before my Father and before his messengers. One having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And write the message to the church in Philadelphia. The holy, the true, the one having the David key, the one opening and no one shall shut, and the one shutting and no one opens, says these things. I know your works. Lo, I have presented an open door before you, which no one is able to shut. I know your works, that you have a little strength, and you did keep my words, and you did not deny my name. Lo, I give from out of the synagogue of Satan those declaring themselves to be Jews and are not but deceiving themselves. Lo, I will appoint them in order that they will come and they shall worship before your feet. They shall know that I did love you. Because you did keep the words of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of fiery trial, the hour about to come to pass upon the entire household, to put to the proof those dwelling on the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast what you have in order that no one might take your crown. I will make the one overcoming a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall then by no means go out. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, the one that descends out of the heavens from my God, and my own new name. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And write the message to the church in Laodicea. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation, says these things. I know your works. You are neither hot nor you're neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So since you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and wealthy and have want for nothing, and you don't know that you are the afflicted and pitiable and lowly and blind and naked, I counsel you to acquire gold having been refined by fire from me in order that you might be rich, and white garments in order that you might clothe yourself and the shame of your nakedness might not be disclosed, and collyrium to rub in your eyes that you might see. I put to the proof and teach all of those who I love. Be alive, therefore, and repent. Lo, I stand at the door and knock. Should someone hear my sound and open the door, I will go in to him and I will sup with him and he with me. I will give to him who overcomes to sit with me in my seat, as I overcame and did sit with my Father in his seat. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. ends the reading now of God's holy word. Thank you. Please be seated. One more time from verse 7, please, as we prepare ourselves to hear the preaching of the word. Write the message to the church in Philadelphia, the holy, the true, the one having the David key, the one opening and no one shall shut, and the one shutting and no one opens, says these things. I know your works. Lo, I have presented an open door before you which no one is able to shut, that you have a little strength. And you did keep my word, and you did not deny my name. Lo, I give from out of the synagogue of Satan those declaring themselves to be Jews and are not but deceiving themselves. Lo, I will appoint them in order that they shall come and they shall worship before your feet, and they shall know that I did love you. Because you did keep the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of the fiery trial, the hour about to come to pass upon the entire household, to put to the proof those dwelling on the earth. I come quickly. Hold fast what you have, in order that no one might take your crown. I will make the one overcoming a pillar in the temple of my God. He shall then by no means go out. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, the one that descends out of the heavens from my God, and my own new name. The one having an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Alasa here is the present-day town in western Turkey of about 40,000 or so. It was named Philadelphia in 189 B.C. due to a Lydian king's love for his brother. The word Philadelphia means love for brother. There are some pictures, I didn't print any of the of them, pictures of the present city of Alasa here, but nothing at all remains of that old Lydian kingdom city or of the Roman city. But we do know that there was a Christian church begun there in the Roman city, more than likely shortly after Pentecost, 30 AD. And as with the other six churches, the Roman city was nearly 200 years old at the time of the church being founded there. As also with the other six, the apostles of Jesus Christ were prominent in the instruction of this church, as were the elders and the evangelists and the pastors who were accompanying the apostles as they went through the nations establishing the churches, and of course those appointed by the apostles in every church, and in addition those who were sent out by the Jerusalem Council in about 50 AD, as is recorded for us in the 15th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. This city was well connected to the other six by a well-traveled trade route, and it had direct access to the sea, that is the Aegean Sea, as you know, through Ephesus and through the city of Smyrna. So its importance to trade was well established, but it had seemingly for its entire existence a very serious problem. It sat right on top of a major fault line. So many earthquakes occurred right under this city. that archaeological discovery has at least so far proved impossible. Before Jesus was crucified, there was a very serious earthquake which demolished the city. It was then rebuilt by Emperor Tiberius, Emperor of the world from Rome, and he renamed the city. Renamed it Neo Caesarea, the new Caesar. In Emperor Vespasian's time, he renamed the city again, renamed it after his wife, Flavia. And well into the second century, it was named again. This time, Little Athens. It seemed that the city at that time was dedicated to Greek gods and goddesses, so they named it after the Greek city. But the names didn't stick. Until this past century, it was always named Philadelphia. But the Turks renamed it in the 1900s and named it Alasahir. Now, I don't know what this has to do with the church in Philadelphia, probably nothing, but it is interesting to me as a realtor to learn that the travertine tiles and slabs mined from Alasahir are shipped all over the world. Apparently, there are famous underground, heavily calcified hot springs under the city and under the entire area which the ancient city once existed. And that, plus the many earthquakes that have occurred there, have produced these huge layers of calcium stone called travertine, which is becoming widely accepted as a beautiful building material. But that's enough of that. Let's see what now we can learn about the church from the message to it from the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As in the other churches, especially in the church in Smyrna, the church in Philadelphia had been severely persecuted by Judaists, as we see that they are the focus of Jesus' condemnation there in verse 9 of the text. But Jesus begins his message to it by saying, the holy, the true. In order for us to gain an understanding of the full context of his words there, I have to read for you one of the most wonderful passages of Scripture from the prophetic word. It is Isaiah's prophecy of the coming of the Holy One of Israel. Jesus obviously refers the church in Philadelphia to this magnificent passage of Scripture in Isaiah chapter 40. So please listen very carefully as I read this morning, okay? Comfort. Oh, comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain, and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, call out. And he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass. All its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Get yourself up on a high mountain. O Zion, bearer of good news, lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him. And like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens by the span and calculated the dust of the earth by the measure and weighed the mountains in a balance and the hills in a pair of scales? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or has his counselor has informed him? With whom did he consult? And who gave him understanding? And who taught him in the path of justice and taught him knowledge and informed him of the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, he lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon isn't enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing and meaningless. To whom then will you liken God? What likeness will you compare with him? As for the idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith plates it with gold, and a silversmith fashions chains of silver. The one who's too impoverished for such an offering selects a tree. It doesn't rot. He seeks out for himself a skillful craftsman to prepare an idol that won't totter. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been declared to you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. He it is who reduces rulers to nothing, who makes the judges of the earth meaningless. Scarcely have they been planted, scarcely have they been sown, scarcely has their stock taken root in the earth, but he merely blows on them, and they wither. The storm carries them away like stubble. To whom then will you liken me that I would be his equal, says the Holy One. Here it is, Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars, the one who leads forth their host by number. He calls them all by name because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, my ways hidden from the Lord, the justice due me escapes his notice? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tired. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives strength to the weary, and to him who lacks might, he increases power. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings of eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. Isaiah chapter 40. I wish we had enough time to do a thorough exegesis of this passage right now. But suffice it to say that our Lord Jesus directly reminds the church at Philadelphia that he is that Holy One from Israel. Very same one who the prophet Isaiah quotes. Israel will receive double recompense for its sins, but his own people will be comforted and shepherded. And he's not one made of stone or gold or silver or even wood, but he is the true one. Not one speck of dust in all of his creation, not one star in the sky, not one drop of water is missing. And all his creatures on the face of the earth are only such as he blows them away as stubble with the breath of his mouth. Comfort, comfort my people. Church at Philadelphia is to be comforted by Jesus' explicit reference to himself from Isaiah chapter 40. That's where he refers them. I hope this lends credence to my former appeal to you to read the prophecy of Isaiah. The holy, the true, the one having the David key, the one opening and no one shall shut, and the one shutting and no one opens. That's a direct reference to Isaiah chapter 22, in which God accuses the royal steward of the household of falsehood, accuses him of betraying the master's trust. God declares, I will depose you from your office. I will pull you down from your station. And God would replace the false steward with a faithful steward. Here's what God said, as recorded by Isaiah chapter 22. Then it will come about in that day that I will summon my servant, and I will clothe him with your tunic and tie your sash securely about him, and I will entrust him with your authority, and he will become a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Then I will set the key to the house of David on his shoulder. When he opens, no one will shut. When he shuts, no one will open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place, and he will become a throne of glory to his father's house. I have that David key, says Jesus, as stated by the Father, written down for you by Isaiah. Jesus has deposed the unfaithful stewards from office. He has pulled them down from their stations. He has shut the door of the covenant to them, and nobody can open it. and he has opened that covenant door to many, many others, and no one can shut it because he's the one who has the key. As you can imagine, this again is great comfort to the church, which has suffered under this methodical, intense persecution at the hands of Judas, who still think that they are under God's covenantal shield no matter what they do. They have rebelled against God from the beginning. They never believed what God revealed and promised, but they worshiped an imitation religion. That's why we call them Judaists. Judaism is an imitation religion, since the entire scripture is a Christian manuscript. They persecuted and killed the prophets who he sent to call for their repentance. They have left all of the people of Israel destitute and sick for the purpose of their own egocentric power. They are under the rule of a Gentile foreign nation now. And after a fake trial, they delivered up the Son of God, Son of Man, to be mocked and to be scourged and to be crucified by that foreign government, the government of the world. And now they're pursuing Jesus' apostles and newborns in every church in the nations. And Jesus has said, right there in Matthew chapter 24, that all of the blood of the righteous would be held to their account. And still, the Judaists were confident that they were God's covenant people and he would never forsake them. The whole world would once again someday be ruled from the eternal city of Jerusalem. Jesus says to his newborns here in Philadelphia, "Lo, I have presented an opened door before you, which no one is enabled to shut. I have shut the covenant door to the Judaists, and nobody can open it. The Lord of the covenant, the one who has the David key, has opened the door and promised his covenant to all flesh, all nations, all tongues, and he's cast out those who pretend to hold the key of the good steward, the faithful steward. He's coming quickly," he says, "coming quickly to execute the covenant sanctions against Israel and to fill his new holy temple. I know your works," Jesus says, "that you have a little strength. You did keep my word, didn't deny my name." This church had some tenacity about it, didn't it? It had toughness, had some substance to it. You might say it had guts about it. It had kept his word, didn't deny his name, even in that pagan world order, even with Caesar as the civil magistrate and self-proclaimed link between heaven and earth. And even with Judaism trying to subvert it from outside and inside, it had kept his word. Now, I want you to know what that means. To keep his word, I'm going to take you quickly through the scriptures, and I trust that Holy Spirit will teach us what it means directly from his own words. Listen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2. "You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Deuteronomy 29, verse 9. Keep, therefore, the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. Psalm 119, verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Psalm 119, verse 101. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. Proverbs 7, verse 1. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with you. Luke chapter 11, verse 28, quoting Jesus. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. John chapter 14, verse 23, again quoting our Lord. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. 1 John chapter 2, verse 5. But whoso keeps his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Listen. Hereby know that we are in him. Talking about those who keep his word. We know that we are in him, in union with our Lord, when we keep his word. Finally, from our own text of Revelation chapter 1, right at the beginning, revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants that which is necessary to be done in quickness, and he did make it known, having sent through his messenger to his servant John, who did bear witness the word of God and the witness of Jesus Christ, all he saw. Blessed the one reading and the ones hearing the words of the prophecy and keeping things having been written in it, for the time is near. Further, Jesus also said, you did not deny my name. Once again, listen to Holy Spirit as he speaks through Scripture. Joshua chapter 24, verse 27. Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it had heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore be a witness unto you, lest you deny your God. Proverbs 30, verse 9. Lest I be full and deny thee and say, who's the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Matthew 10, 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Titus, Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 1, verse 16. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. In their works, they deny the name of God. 2 Peter 2. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. This feisty little church stood strong and stalwart in the midst of some dire circumstances. They kept his word, and they didn't deny him in speech or in deed. What a great testimony to us in our title church. May God add great blessing now to the reading and preaching of his word. Amen.